Father, I pray this morning that your word would only be spoken, your word only heard. Come and be with us. Guide us and direct us, we pray. Change us into your image. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. Before we really get started this morning, for funsies, I want to give you a little informal quiz. That's a real simple quiz. It's yes or no. You need neither paper nor pen. It's just 8 questions. Your right hand can be yes and your left hand no. And if you have more than 5 yeses, send the first 5 to your toes and remember they're down there. But you shouldn't have 5 on either side. Maybe. When life gets really busy for you, does your time that you've set aside with God tend to get pushed aside? Yes or no? Now, you don't have to answer. I don't want to embarrass you. This is an internal survey. There are no grades. There's no lightning bolts that are going to come from heaven. Because some of you are so anal retentive, you're going to want to know the answers and how you scored. And by the way, Kathy, thank you for that word. That was really a time. Number 2, when you try to focus on something, do you get easily distracted? Yes or no? Number 3, when you overall with you or with those around you say that you tend to be a worrier? Yes or no? Monica, don't even say no. I'm going to call you out. Number 4, do you at times feel sorry for yourself? Number 5, in your opinion, and it matters no one else, but in your opinion, do you think that you do more than your fair share of work? Number 6, do you find at times that you are easily angered by other people's faults? Number 7, would you say that it's easy for you to recognize faults in others? Now, if you never take offense and get angry at them, you probably don't. Number 8, at times, do you find yourself questioning if God really cares about you? Now, if you answered yes to 4 or more of those, then you probably feel that you're living a Martha lifestyle in a Mary's world. If you answered yes to fewer than 4 of them, you're a Mary and you've got no cares. Just trying to tell you who you are. But let's be honest, for many of us, if not most of us, we tend to set God aside and take care of other business that we think is important. But if we would think about it, what we think is important is child's play to God if we would give it to Him. See, we get hung up on the details. But the details that God deals in, we can't even fathom. So what we deal with is child's play. There's some common myths, and obviously today we're dealing with Martha in a Mary's world. But there's some common myths that we believe that I want to set us straight on this morning. The first one is busyness equals importance. If we really get busy, we must be important. I read this week, and another pastor said this, when we're really busy, it means we're really living. Actually, being overly busy cuts us off from cultivating important relationships with our spouse, our kids, our friends, and our God. Saints, God will not ask us on Judgment Day how busy we've been. One of the neat things about being a pastor in this church, one of the neatest things about being raised in this church as a Christian, is I've gotten to see some men of God, some of them near my age, a little younger, and some of them very much my junior, but I've got to see them balance their lives between work and home, between their wives and school and their children. And what an excellent job they've done. And watch them succeed in all of it. I've also seen and been guilty of getting out of balance and see what it costs. But it's really neat when, and to embarrass him, people like Craig Stafford has shown me how to balance. This man travels all over the world. But I watched him always have time for his kids. And now I watch his kids always have time for him. It's neat to watch as my son came up through law school and always balanced between his wife and law school and church. It was amazing. So, busyness equals importance is a lie. And yet I've seen it live the other way. And I've seen the cost of divorce in households when it happened. I'll never forget, I worked for a company out of Miami. The president, the vice president, chief financial officer, the company went public and all three got divorces. They were out of balance. I'd be down there and we'd be in a meeting and they would ask me to walk out of the office because they wanted to tell a joke. And they knew that I wouldn't appreciate it. But when they got in problems, all three would ask me to pray for them. Myth number two. Someone will always win the rat race. A bumper sticker I once said, the one who dies with the most toys wins. Well, I've seen the answer to that one. And the one who has the most toys still dies. And I've never seen a hearse towing a U-Haul. God is not interested in what we do as much as He is interested in who we are. Myth number three. Multitasking will buy us more time. I'm not going to name the priest, but we were in a meeting this week, and there he was with a smartphone and a tablet and a computer, and all of them were on. Multitasking will buy us more time. But then we fill that more time with more work. Death is nature's way of telling us to slow down. And I've never had a deathbed confession where someone confessed that they wished they had spent more time in the office. Number four, the last myth that you need to understand. Downtime is wasted time. That's been a hard one for me to understand. But wait, didn't God institute the Sabbath for rest? And just so you all can clarify it, the Sabbath day is a rest day. That's why when I leave here, I go take a Sabbath rest, a sacramental nap. It's earned. The ultimate tragedy of the busy life is the same problem that Martha, and we're going to look at that, faced. Offered the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet, we don't seem to be able to spare the time. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 10. Now, it's already been read, but I choose to read it again. Luke 10, 38. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain city, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, that's being Jesus, and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Many of us have heard the story a thousand times. Martha was the matriarch of the home. Now, whether this was inherited from her ex-husband or whether the husband was deceased, make no mistake about it, this was Martha's home. Martha lived there and allowed Mary and her brother to live with her. But anytime you see this referenced and see it in John, it's Mary's home. Martha's home. Martha decided to have a party. She invited Jesus to come. Now, Jesus never was alone. With Jesus, there was an entourage. There could have been 12, there could have been 30, there could have been 60. It's not given how many came, but we know that others came. She welcomed them, and she set about preparing, apparently, a lavish feast. Now, if we go back in the verse to chapter 8, It says, whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, you're to eat whatever is set before you. Just because Jesus comes to your home doesn't mean it's a banquet. The rule, the custom of the day, is when you go into someone's home, you eat what's there. If they put before you peanut butter and jam, that's what you eat. But Martha apparently was putting on a feast. Now, unlike most homes today where the kitchen is somewhere else and the guests are being entertained in the family room, homes in that day tended to be really open concept. So the kitchen was right there in the same room. But Martha was so distracted in preparation that she wasn't able to really listen. In fact, the word that in the original distracted really means in the original language, in verse 40, it says, pulled around in many different directions. I know, now guys, y'all don't want to understand this, but when a woman puts on a shindig, she does everything. It's like when Jan gets ready to do so, I want to leave. There's no peace for about 24 hours before the thing is done. Everything has to be right. I'm going, my God, it's just the bishop. He stayed here before. And his wife, big hairy deal. If they don't like staying here, they can hook down to the hotel. It's okay with me. Not with Jan. So, you know, women like everything right. Am I wrong? You go to Darla's house, there's not a doily out of position in Darla's house. Now, I got a feeling a couple of days beforehand with her kids when they were younger, that probably wasn't the case. I don't know that. I've never caught her that way. But I got a feeling there is a regiment to get that house in order. I mean, Ed tells me that. Is that right, Ed? I'll throw him under the bus. Boy, there's going to be trouble in the hometown tonight. Martha was so distraught that she couldn't even talk to Mary. Now, Martha's the head of the home. She couldn't even talk to Mary. She goes to Jesus and said, Jesus, make Mary go do something. All I'm trying to say is, Martha was out of bounds. She could have prepared less food. She could have done... My daddy had a saying. Mother was a home economics major. And every now and then she wanted to do what daddy called put on the dog. I mean, that's when you rolled out the napkins. Well, there was a time in my home where the home economic major, the head of the home economic program for the state of Florida, made the mistake of coming to our house for supper. So Mama put on the dog. But Daddy wasn't one for doing that. So we sat down at the table, and there was the nice napkins and the silverware and whatever that. And Daddy was a little upset about it. So he sat down, and he picked up this napkin, and he goes, why is Patty's diaper on the table? Sticks it in his collar. Mother's about two shades red. Well, now, that was just too much for me. I had to join the fun. Daddy goes, Bubba, pass a biscuit. I just didn't even look up because I knew I was in trouble. I reached down, grabbed a biscuit, and go. Rolled across. He caught it. I didn't even look up. Mama never put that dog on again. Mama was distracted that day too. Martha was distracted. She was so upset and worried because she was preparing too much that she could not enjoy sitting at the Master's feet. here's what we got to go. Well, here's what the balance is. Here's what the whole thing with Martha is. When we're invited to sit at the Master's feet, we got to balance between going and doing and being and hearing. Last week we talked about the Good Samaritan, and I talked to y'all about the fact that there are times when we're inconvenienced and God uses that time as an opportune time to witness. It's no coincidence that Dr. Luke puts these two scriptures back to back, because in our Christian walk, there's a time that we've got to be inconvenienced and we got to do. But then there's a time when we've got to sit and we got to be. And there's a balance in our life. But we cannot be Marthas and always just do, do, do. There's a time when we've got to decide, and like our altar guild, there's a time they work, work, work and get this set up. But then they got to stop. And they got to be. They got to sit and listen. They don't do the altar guild work during the church. They sit and listen. And then thank goodness for the men that volunteer to help them before and after. Because then they got to do, do, do. And they got to get, you know, they're busy. But there's a balance in our Christian life, guys. And that's what this whole chapter is about. We got to be inconvenienced as a Samaritan. And we got to reach out and we got to do. But then there's a time we got to be Mary. And we got to give attentive ear and listen. The whole issue with Martha and Mary, Martha was so busy impressing her neighbors and trying to win the approval of Jesus by her action that she missed the better part of learning by just being at the feet of Jesus. What's really unique in these two passages is Jesus was also taking on the establishment of the day. In the story of the Samaritan was not the neighbor you wanted. He was hated by the Jews. And yet he was the one that became the neighbor. It was not socially accepted for a woman to sit in the presence of men to learn. That was a social taboo. And yet here in the presence of Jesus, a woman was sitting in the presence of men and soaking it in and learning. Jesus was taking on the social norms of the day and saying, "Wake up, stupid world! There's a new day coming! There's a new reality! And Martha, you're missing everything because you're so caught up in being."